Mark, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so
Thanks
much
for
joining.
Thanks for having me on, Amy.
No, my pleasure. Thank you for joining us. Now, can you explain how political motivations can be construed as a breach of copyright restrictions?
It goes back to this idea that any work of art has got a bit of the creator in it. You know, it's not like a hammer or a gun. So the argument runs that a song is actually, you know, something associated with the soul of the artist. And so if that song or piece of work is used for a purpose that is abhorrent to the artist, then the artist in some way should be allowed to stop that. Now, in Anglo-American law, that wasn't a very strong connection. The real question was, if you're making money out of it, who cares who it's used by? You put it out into the world, you should let it go and find its own level and just be grateful for the money that's coming back in. The European way of looking at these things was different, and that's partially because in historical terms, a work of art could get you killed. And if you put something out into the world and it wasn't what you really believed in, that you were prepared to stake your life on it, then you should be allowed to disclaim connections. Mm. So it's a very deep part of Western culture. It's also quite a deep divide between the old Anglo copyright world and the more complicated history of works of art in Europe.
Mm. Now, Tim Rogers is hinting at court action. Is it actually possible that an artist can take even a private citizen to court because of their particular use of that artist's music?
This is going to be a complicated one if you ever went down that path.
Mm.
And this is partially because of the way music is now out there through Spotify and also through YouTube and a whole lot of other things. People are appropriating stuff online, which in the days of vinyl records was never possible. And frankly, in the days of reasonably strong censorship on radio was never possible too. You know, if people started putting stuff out and associating it with hate speech or anything like that, once upon a time there was a censorship regime, but as we famously know, the good side of the internet is it's a relatively censorship-free zone. The bad side of the internet is it's a relatively censorship-free zone.
Mm. Now,
I think they're going to be problems there.
Mm.
There are different legal pathways you could take, when you're associating yourself with a political movement or a political movement is trying to associate themselves with your success, that brings up slightly different considerations again compared to a commercial association.
Mm. And on that sort of the political association, Bernardi's actually defended himself, saying that the playlist was for personal use rather than pushing the beliefs of the Australian Conservatives. Do you think that this explanation holds up?
Look, I thought it was a bit disingenuous when I heard him saying this, particularly when, you know, it was the AC Hot 100 playlist. So, you know, what does AC stand for? It doesn't stand for Corey Bernardi. It stands for Australian Conservative. I thought there was, you know, there was a claim for association, but, you know, just when you give someone, a friend of yours, your mixtape, you are saying something about both yourself and the music you associate with.
Mm.
Now, and that private use, you would have thought was completely legit.
Mm. Now, Spotify have stated that they don't endorse the playlist. How much licensing do they have on the songs present on their service in order to respect its artistic intentions?
Keeping general on that question, you will find that all of these social sites say we're just a platform. Mm. What people do on it has nothing to do with us. And that's been the the Silicon Valley model for things that, you know, from Facebook forward. So yeah, they'll try and run a million miles in the opposite direction. And at the end of the day, just who's going to appropriate this then becomes a matter for the wider public, you know. So there are each of these little choke points, you know, Spotify or the Australian Conservatives or Mr. Bernardi himself, and then it goes out into the wider world and either gets forgotten about or gets taken up. That's the thing that people are worried about, if the wrong people take it up, and then the toothpaste really is out of the tube.
Do you think that there needs to sort of be a bit more focus on the discussion of kind of the rights and when an artist can step in and say, you can't use my music for that? Do we need to talk about this more, because it does seem to be a bit of a vague field?
Yeah. Look, as I say, historically, it's been about the money. So you used to control the copyright, and if people weren't paying you, you sued them and got them to stop. But with the way music licenses and music distribution is now, of course, people can then put things out into the world. This is where the moral rights regime comes in, and this is what I say is the European stream. We didn't have it in Australian law until 2000, and it's not been used very actively. But you will, it's certainly something that people are reaching for at the moment. Before the moral rights regime came in, you may remember that there was a song by Joe Cocker, Unchain My Heart, used by the Liberal Party in their advertising. And Joe Cocker objected very strongly to that. It was only used for one election campaign. But that was treated along just straight commercial lines. You know, they got a license from the music licensing people and just used the song in a political ad. There are other people like Nick Cave who've always said, I don't license my music for advertising because the music is too important for the people who've had it played at their funerals or their weddings or when they're really down. I don't want my music debased in that way. Now, you know, that's a great position to be in as a musician if you can afford to and avoid advertising. Famously, of course, other bands just refuse to let things go up onto Spotify or any of the file sharing sites. But most of those bands have now done deals. And, you know, ultimately, if someone thinks worse of you, that's where the moral rights regime kicks in. Now, does this mean that every single artist on this Hot 100 should stand up and disclaim all association? A sort of Me Too movement for artists, and then you see who's left standing. And if there are, you know, 30 left standing who haven't disclaimed, then you might legitimately ask what's going on. That sort of approach is it's interesting. It's not in the realm of, you wouldn't sue if you were one of those artists necessarily, but there's more than one way to fix the problem, I think.
Well, Mark, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning and having a bit of a chat about this one.
I think it's really interesting. It's quite important. It certainly goes to issues of both free speech and also what a work of art is out there in society.
Well, thank you so much, Mark.
Not at all.